We turn to the last book of the Old Testament, the last chapter, Malachi chapter 4. We read the 6 verses of this chapter. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The text for this morning's sermon is verse 2a. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. What is your favorite place to be? If I were to ask that of you young people, what would your answer be? Where would you like to be? And perhaps if we were to answer that question, many different answers would be given. Some people would like certain spots, and other people would like other places. Maybe some people like the dark, to go on in their sinful ways. But God's people, they love to be under the healing rays of the Son of Righteousness. And that's what the Lord also speaks of here. And when he comes to the people of Israel by way of his prophet Malachi, then he tells them that the sun announces a new day. And so we hear spoken of in this chapter of the day of the Lord coming. And with the Lord does come a new day. And that was a precious day to God's people. A day that they were longing for. But it is also a day that will be terrible for the wicked. Malachi is honest. And he tells us that in verse 1, the wicked shall be destroyed on the great day of days. The wicked will be consumed as stubble. Will that be the future for everyone? No. Thanks be to God, no. For there are those who have heard about that day of judgment coming, and who have sought for a way to escape that end and to be restored to the favor of God. There is a people who have come to realize that they cannot stand before God in his holiness and justice in themselves, and so they have sought to hide in the Lord Jesus Christ, for only sheltering behind him, the mediator, are they safe. They are those whom Malachi calls they that fear the Lord. Well, these people await the day. They long for the day to come at last. And you can imagine the people in Malachi's day raising a question. A question that is found in Isaiah 21, verse 11 to 12. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? You see, the people of God in the Old Testament were longing for the morning to come after the night. And how dark it was in the days of Malachi. And then how dark it would continue to be for 400 years after that. No prophet would come. But It is before that darkness deepens, there is the great prophecy that the Sun of Righteousness will arise with healing in its wings. Our theme is the Sun of Righteousness rising with healing. The Sun of Righteousness rising with healing. We'll see, first of all, the person of the Sun. Secondly, the place where He rises. And thirdly, the purpose of His shining. The Sun of Righteousness rising with healing. The person of this Sun. First of all, secondly, the place where He rises, and thirdly, the purpose for which He shines. And it is clear when we hear of the Sun of Righteousness, we have a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Sun of Righteousness. He has been called in the Old Testament the Star of Jacob in Numbers 24, verse 17. He has also been called the Light of the Gentiles in Isaiah. But here the prophet may present Him as the Sun, the great Light to rule the day of the New Testament. Why is He called a Sun here in Malachi 4? Why is He not called a Sun earlier in the Scriptures? Why now? Well, it is as if the Lord knows how needy His people will be at the outset, on the onset of this great darkness that would last 400 years. And in light of that, the Lord comes with His promise, a great promise, a precious promise. He promises not a star. He doesn't promise the moon. He promises the sun to come. And does He not do that more often than before trying times? Before difficult times, are there not times when He comes graciously with the promise? Does He not come then with special tokens of His mercy in those trying times? Have you ever found that to be so? The Lord comes and reminds His people of something. Does He not show therein that He is mindful of His weak and needy people? Well, that's how He shows Himself here in Malachi 4. And I've said already that it is clear that this is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, for after all, He is the light of the world. Of Him it is said in John 1 verse 5 that He is the light that shineth in darkness. He is the true light. Of Him we read that when He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, that His face did shine as the sun. And His raiment was white as the light. He is the one to whom who appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. And we read of His countenance as the sun shining in His strength. Do you see what this says of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see that it speaks of Him as majestic? He is great. He is glorious. What can compare to the sun shining in its blazing light? You see, He is not simply a star that twinkles in the night. Well, that's lovely in its own way, of course. But He is not simply a star. He is not simply like the moon that reflects the light from the sun in the night. No, He is the sun. The sun is great and glorious. So it says that He is majestic, first of all. Secondly, it says He is unique. There are many stars in the heavens. There are many trees on the earth. There are many rocks. But there's only one sun. And there is only one Savior. It's only one name given among men by which we must be saved. He alone is the Lord of salvation. And beside Him there is none other. And that is also what the Lord's Supper proclaims. There is no other Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the complete Savior. And is that not a consolation to you, dear people of God? Is this not a comfort to you? That you do not need to find anything in yourself. You need to find everything in Him who is the Savior of sinners. And thirdly, it says, He is mighty. He is mighty. For boys and girls, you have seen the Son. And you know what the Son is able to do. The Son is able to warm the earth. The Son is able to make summer come after winter. The Son is able to melt massive icebergs in the north that is cold. And in the same way, Christ is mighty. Oh, He is almighty. He is able to melt the hardest heart and illumine the darkest mind. What is too hard for the Lord to do? What is too hard for Him? Is it too hard for Him to save you? Is it too hard for Him to operate upon you? Is it too hard for the Lord to bring you to His table, dear people of God? He is a mighty Savior, and such a Savior we need. So that, first of all, of the person of the Son. Secondly, the place where He rises. And the image of the Son tells us where the Son rises. For you see, when the Son rises, then before it rises, it is dark. But when the Son comes, then the darkness, as it were, flees away. And the darkness upon which the Son of Righteousness rises is a deep darkness. That is also what Isaiah 60 verse 2 says. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Apparently there is a darkness, a gross darkness that covers the people. Why is it a gross darkness? Well, because it is a darkness as a result of sin. And sin has meant that man is now without God. And a life without God is a life without light. And it is a life in darkness. And that's why man by nature prefers the darkness. He prefers to be without the Word of God. He prefers to go in his own imaginations. He is ignorant of the things that he needs to know for his happiness. He is ignorant of the things that he needs to know for his good. And so man is under a grip of darkness, and he belongs to the kingdom of darkness. Is that how you are here, perhaps? Man under the grip of darkness. Oh, how we should grieve for those who sit in darkness, still sitting in darkness, who are without the Lord Jesus Christ. For to be without Christ is to be in darkness. Then you walk in darkness, then you do the works of darkness. And what happens if you discover that that is your case? That darkness is a good description of you. That you do find you have a darkened mind. And that it is dark because you miss the Lord. Well, then we hear a promise in our text that the Son will come. The light will come. And Isaiah 60, to which we have just referred, not only says that the darkness shall cover the earth and that it is a gross darkness, the people, but that the Lord shall arise upon thee. Or in the words of Malachi, the Son of Righteousness will arise. He will come, and He will shine. And He did come. 400 years after these words were spoken, born in the night in Bethlehem. And it was on that night that the glory of the Lord shone around the angels. But in Bethlehem, in the stable, it was dark. And later the Lord Jesus would go and live in Capernaum. And Capernaum was a place of darkness. It was a place of ignorance. It was a place today that they would say, there is no light. It's the boonies. There's ignorance there, great ignorance. And the greatest ignorance, of course, is that they did not know God. But it was there that the Lord Jesus went to live in order to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. But not only was he born in a dark night, not only did he go to live in Capernaum, he also crawled on the ground in Gethsemane. In a dark night. And it became dark the next day when he was on Golgotha. There in the middle of the day, it became dark. The Father laid upon him the iniquity of his people when he hung on the cross. You see, the Son of Righteousness came in order to die. And that's what we remember at the Lord's Supper. That he came to die. In the stead of a guilty people, he took the place of guilty, sinful people. He hung in the darkness. And the darkness, as it were, wanted to snuff out the light. Oh, but this sun has more power than the darkness. And I know that the darkness wanted to extinguish the light of the world. I know that with every spit upon the Lord Jesus and every blow to his face and every hammer blow to his hands and his feet, man tried to snuff out the light, but the Son of Righteousness cannot be extinguished. Just like no man can extinguish the sun that hangs in the sky, the Lord Jesus cannot be snuffed out as the light. And the Son of Righteousness, he arose from the grave. And he ascended in heaven. And today he is still the Son of Righteousness. What does he do then? What's the purpose for his shining? That's our third point. For what happens when the sun rises? Boys and girls know what happens when the sun rises. Sometimes our boys and girls can be afraid of the dark. But they're always happy when the sun rises, for then there comes light. Then you can see. You can see things around you. You can see yourself. You can see things that the darkness had enveloped and you could not see in the night. Now you can see. That's how it is spiritually. When the Lord Jesus, as the Son of Righteousness, rises in your life, then you come to see things that you have never seen before. You come to realize that you are before God. God shows that He sees you. And that He knows you. And you come to see something of what He sees. You come to see something of your guilt. It all comes in the light now. And your life is laid bare now. And your secret sins, you realize, are no longer secret because God knows them. And your deeds and your words and your thoughts and your motives, all that you have done, come into the light. Has the Lord also done that in your life in this past week? Has He shown you something of your darkness? Something of your sinfulness? Maybe it had this effect on you that you said, "And now that I see something more of my darkness, now there is no hope for me." Maybe you felt even, "I'm a lost case now. How can I meet the Lord?" Well, you see, you can meet the Lord because He is the Son of Righteousness. He has righteousness. He lived righteously. There is no spot that can be found in this Son. There is no spot that can be found in His righteousness. He lived what no man else had ever done. And He also has a righteousness to give to a guilty people. You see, He has merited righteousness by His life. And He has also died in the stead of guilty wretches. And that's what the bread and the wine at the table also tell us. It says there is righteousness to be had. There is forgiveness of sins with the Lord. Oh, it is true that the sun exposes. And the sun sets into the light things that you would try to hide. But He also says, "I also have righteousness to give." And so he exposes, in order that you would seek your righteousness outside of yourself in him. And that is the only way we are left with. Has that also been the effect in your life? Seeking for communion with God, you come to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And you know what it is, then when I look upon Christ, then it is as if I never had, nor committed any sin. Yea, as if I had fully accomplished that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me, inasmuch as I embrace such benefit with a believing heart. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That's what is said at the table. That's what the Lord preaches in his word. And it is visibly shown to us too. The wonderful exchange. I for you. Whereas you should otherwise have perished, I have taken your place. And I have clothed you with my righteousness. But he has another task. He not only has the task to give righteousness and impute righteousness to guilty sinners, he also is the healing son of righteousness. This son arises, Malachi tells us, with healing in its wings. Or to put it differently, this son of righteousness arises with healing rays. You know, sometimes when the sun is shining, you can see it shining through the holes in the clouds, and you see shafts of light coming from heaven to earth. The rays of light that stream from the sun. Well, that's how the Lord is spoken of here. That he comes with rays of light, and that therein he is the healer. He is the physician. And that's also what the needy sinner needs, this physician. What does he find? He finds that there is so much sickness in him. There is so much deadness in him. He has found that also in this past week I lie in the midst of death. And it is evident. It is evident in this. It is evident in that. And what does he need healing for then? He needs healing for his sin. He needs healing for his heart. He needs healing for also a broken heart and a contrite spirit, a heart that is broken into 100 pieces. Who can heal it? Who can pour balm over that and come with healing power? Christ can. He knew how to heal Peter after he had denied the Lord. After Peter was cast into that dark condition, the Lord is still the same. Oh, the sinner needs the Lord Jesus for many spiritual needs. He needs the Lord Jesus to heal him of his unbelief, to heal him of his doubt, to heal him of his small faith, to heal him of his lukewarmness, to heal him of his anxiety, his despondency, needs to heal him of his blindness, needs to heal him of his deafness, he needs to heal him, he needs Christ to heal him. Maybe you have thought that this promise is not for you. Comforts of the gospel, not for you. Oh, but he is the son of righteousness with healing. And he is the one that can heal those who cannot heal themselves. He can give recovery. He can give strength. He can remove unbelief. He can strengthen weak faith. He is the physician who can open the eyes of the blind. There is nothing too hard for him to do. How does he heal then? Well, he comes with rays. Sometimes he comes with full sun. Other times with rays. The rays of his promises. The rays of his person. The rays of his dealings with other sinners in the past. And how he had dealt with others who were sick. Now he spoke to that man who was brought to him lame. And he said to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." He comes with healing. Especially the healing that is found at Golgotha. For by his stripes we are healed. Ah, but someone says, why am I not healed then? Why is it that I find so much sickness and death in me then? Well, you see, the Lord makes a beginning in this life. But when He makes a beginning, He does not make an end in this life. He is not done healing His people till they leave this body of death. He heals by forgiving sins. And that He does all at once. He covers at the first glance of faith to the Lord Jesus with His perfect robe of righteousness. And the sinner then can appear without terror before God in His judgment seat. But after forgiving grace, there still remains corruptions, infirmities, ailments, as He also pointed them out to you this past week. But He will bring His people to that place where there are no more infirmities, where the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. Here below there are still infirmities. Is that your grief? Is that your pain? Or maybe someone says, it's dark for me, and I don't see the way to the table open. Well, my friend, then live by faith. Walk by faith. That's what the Lord says. He says, who is there among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon His God. For is He not able to give the light to shine in the darkness? Is He not able to make the night day? Oh, I know there can be many clouds, but can He not even open the clouds a little and let a shaft of His rays shine down? What shall you do then? Come into the sunlight. Come into the sunlight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, is your hard heart? Is your heart hard? What must you do? Come into the sunlight. For He has power to melt that stony heart. Oh, don't stay in the shadows. Don't stay in the dark. Don't stay gazing upon yourself. In yourself there is no light. In yourself there is no healing. Come out of the darkness into His marvelous light. He gives warmth. He gives light. He gives health. You need God. You need Christ. You need the Son of Righteousness. Don't look to yourself to find peace. That peace is in Christ, in His finished work. And that's what the Lord's Supper proclaims. His blood, it preaches. His righteousness. His healing. His wondrous love. And all those who come to know Him as the Son of Righteousness, who long to sit at His table, to sit under the sunlight of the gospel, are welcome at His table. Amen.